the recommendations that you read in the report. Will also allow developing that east side facility or basically substation will reduce that response time that you saw on the east side of the city. Having officers working out of the east side facility, having an east side facility can again alleviate room restrictions, space restrictions they're experiencing at the PD, and also allow officers to respond from the east side of the city. So two areas again where a lot of these are interconnected like that, as you saw property and evidence, the east side facility and the facilities master plan. Also, as Kurt mentioned, these are a snapshot in time, and a lot of things that we have been working on and talking about have been started. And just to recognize the police department for this, one recommendation we had made was an armored vehicle purchase to not be reliant on county services, a much slower response. This is directly related to citizen safety. This is directly related to officer safety and things that you can't wait on. And I know that has been, or that is in the process, and the city, that's already being worked on, so that's great. The patrol supervisory burden reduction has also been initiated. One of our recommendations and findings was the amount of tasks, ancillary tasks on patrol sergeants. Patrol, and this is not unique to Paso, we see this in many jurisdictions, but patrol supervisors tend to get a lot of workload placed on them. Unfortunately, and especially in today's situation of having very young officers, they need the mentorship, they need those sergeants out on the street with them as much as possible. It's directly related to risk, it's directly related to their growth, and the level of service to the community. So I know they've already put a new sergeant position in place to handle many of those ancillary duties that patrol sergeants were handling, so the patrol sergeants could be freed up for that. Deputy chief, hiring a deputy chief was also, that's already been taken care of, and also the mission and vision, while can seem very small, actually has great impact on, you know, having a unified goal for the organization when it comes to retention and such. So these are all great things that have been accomplished so far.
All right, we're going to wrap up. So what now? How do you eat the elephant, right? You eat the elephant one bite at a time. One bite at a time is typically done utilizing a strategic plan or a strategic approach. And the key points are up there, but strategic planning, from our perspective, at least the ones we've seen that are successful, should be done in an inclusive nature internally and externally. You see within our study the mention of a community survey that was done, which was very positive to your public safety services. Almost 500 responses throughout your community. Yeah, very, very, very positive. Actually more responses than I got when I did Santa Barbara City. It should be an internal and external process. It should be structured. We formally recommend that there be an adoption to it. And why? Because it provides a foundation to prioritize the initiatives and budgets. A lot of times we would take an adopted strategic plan and transition that into a program style budget. So that would be that's your what now. What did I do wrong, buddy? So in conclusion, and you've got the conclusion up there. However, you know, I add a little bit to this. And that's addressing all of the areas that we've addressed proactively will, in our opinion, ensure that your police and fire department remain capable, resilient, and aligned with the needs of this growing community. So I want to thank the council for the opportunity to present this. I want to thank the chiefs and their staff for our team. This has been a great, great experience. And I already mentioned that I bought a house here, so you can take care of me later. And we'll attempt to answer any questions. As I said, it's an 8-person team. This was a very, very high flight.
Okay, thank you. We'll go ahead and open up the questions from the council. Anybody have anything right now at this first presentation? Okay, Thank you. And then what will, maybe, do chiefs want to make a final comment on this before we deliberate, or give us a kind of an overview where we might be going with this?
So I'll speak in regards to the past practices when we've done this before. So at this point, it's a receive and file report. The police and fire department will both work on a strategic plan, and we'd expect that to come to you in the future for some funding, whether through J20 or through the budget process. And during that process, we actually put together an external stakeholder group and an internal stakeholder group, and we developed that with community input. And during our last strategic plan, we had two council members and then a number of members from the community on that external panel. And then when we brought it back to you last time, not only did you get the strategic plan, but we also provided you the 10-year staffing priorities as well as the plan to move forward. And actually, that's what's got us to this point. So that was developed in 2017 when I first came into this position. And
city council. And city council, that's what's driven our progress in the
budget since 2017. So that's what you can expect next.
Yeah, so it's good that we're getting onto it now to set it up for the next go around.
Yes.
Clearly, it's important. You know, safety is our number one priority, and police and fire is where it's at. But laying out a roadmap and essentially funding and budgeting is going to be critical. And I'm assuming that that's what we're going to start hearing from staff again is the next plan and how that might be implemented. So
yeah, and I'll just reemphasize what Mr. Latipile said is that in order to us to move forward, the renewal of Measure J20 is essential. So not only moving forward, but if we were to lose Measure J20, you're going to lose 50% of your fire and police department as it sits today.
Yeah, let alone where we need to be. Yeah, that's, I saw that critical. We've been talking about it already, about where we might want to start working on this. I think it's up in 2030.
I believe it sunsets in 2032.
32, right.
Yeah. Right.
Okay, we'll open up to public real quick. Anybody in the audience want to address this item before we receive and file? Anyone online?
No, sir.
Okay, so this was a receive and file, and basically the staff is looking for us to endorse the strategic staffing assessment and direct staff, you know, to return with the implementation framework and prioritization plan, which is what Jonathan just said. So are we all good with making that happen?
Yeah.
Direction-wise? Okay. Thank you. Okay. All right. 5 minute break?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. We'll take a recess 5 minutes.
Thank you for listening to tonight's Paso Robles City Council meeting. We now join our regularly scheduled program in progress. You're listening to The Right Choice, AM 1230, KPRL, 99.3 FM, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.
So we have that. We also had the terror attack in Australia, where a whole lot of people were murdered and a whole lot more were wounded by two Muslim men with rifles who wanted to gun down all the people because Hanukkah was starting, and people were celebrating the start of Hanukkah, and that's a Jewish holiday, and the Islamists wanted to murder all of the Jews because they're Jew murderers, and that's the thing about them. So the massacre there, a terrible, horrible thing. And you got a left-wing prime minister. We talked to our unofficial Australia correspondent, Jason, yesterday on the radio. And there are updates today. They've got this prime minister, Anthony Albanese, and he's a lefty. He's a big lefty. And he just wants to, Islamists attacked Jewish people on the beginning of Hanukkah, the Hanukkah massacre. It's time we take away your guns. Oh, okay. You stupid people have the same answer to everything, don't you? You're incapable of learning because you're lefties. It's pretty amazing stuff. But here is the Australian Prime Minister, Anthony Albanese, yesterday with an update as of yesterday on what happened there at Bondi Beach on the Greater Sydney Harbor. I've been to Bondi Beach, been to walk across the big Sydney Bay Bridge, the big coat hanger and all that stuff. And it's beautiful. It's wonderful. It really is. And then the jihadis show up and start gunning down all the Jews and everybody else. They killed. See, I guess there are three little children. They killed one 10-year-old girl, and three other small children are in intensive care right now. And the left was very excited because a grown man, a Muslim man, attacked one of the gunmen and got him in a neck lock and threw him to the ground and took his gun away. I think it was looked like a 12-gauge shotgun. And he didn't shoot the gunman, who then went back to killing people. He did go back to killing people. It was before he was gunned down by the police much later, but he had gotten back to murdering people. So really, the hero of the story, the Muslim man that took away the shotgun, should have shot the guy with the 12-gauge shotgun, blasted him off his feet to take him out of action because he was in the middle of murdering as many people as he could murder in an act of jihad. But never mind that. And the left-wing prime minister, Anthony Albanese, he was talking to the press yesterday, and he found out a thing or two. Hey, wait a minute. These guys are really jihadis.
It would appear that there is evidence that this was inspired by a terrorist organization, by ISIS.